The Buffalo Niagara Business Ethics Award is the premier business ethics award in our region, a business lifetime achievement award that measures success not on profit, but on the bond of trust built with customers, employees, and other businesses. The Buffalo Niagara Business Ethics Award is an award that's not given, it's earned.
I'm Allison Romanowski. Alliance Homes received the Business Ethics Award for behavior we practice every day. This recognition is valuable not only for the public, but more importantly, to encourage ethics within our organization. It truly helps support our team in their decisions to do the right thing every day.
Nominate a company today for the 2020 Buffalo Niagara Business Ethics Award, honoring small, mid, and large-sized companies. Chances are you know a well-deserving business. Make your nomination online at buffalobusinessethics.org by October 25th. That's buffalobusinessethics.org in partnership with KeyBank, Lawley Insurance, Channel 2, and WBEN.
Neighborhood Health Center, a primary health care provider, has been offering health care services to the Western New York community for more than 30 years, providing services including internal medicine, family medicine, obstetrics and gynecology, pediatrics, podiatry, behavioral health, nutrition and dentistry. Neighborhood Health Centers accepts all patients and participates in most insurance plans, including the under and the uninsured. Neighborhood Health Center has four great locations, including their newest locations in Blaisdell and the OBGYN-only office in Hamburg, New York, at 151 Elmview Avenue. If you would like information on the various Neighborhood Health Center services, their convenient locations, or to make an appointment, contact 716-332-3070 or visit neighborhoodhealthcenter.org. Buffalo Healthy Living Magazine is Western New York's premier free health, fitness, and nutrition magazine for people of all ages. With over 220,000 print readers and thousands more who read online, we write about the topics that matter most to our readers. Look for us at every area of Wegmans and Tops, along with thousands of other locations across all 8 counties of Western New York. You can visit us online at buffalohealthyliving.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Enjoy a healthier life with Buffalo Healthy Living Magazine.
Welcome to Western New York at Work with Dale Martin and Lauren Lewis. Join in on the conversation about sports, jobs, economic development, and the people who make it all happen. If you're interested in growing your business, understanding the latest trends in and around Western New York, then join the discussion at 803-1520. Now, here's Dale Martin and Lauren Lewis.
Good morning, Buffalo. Welcome to Western New York at Work, your business-friendly conversation live here at ESPN 1520 AM, where we talk about sports, jobs, economic development, and always the people that make it happen. And I'm joined here in studio with my wonderful co-host, Lauren Lewis. Lauren, good morning.
Hi, Dale. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing absolutely fabulous.
Well, absolutely fabulous. Yes. You're always in a good mood. So what makes you absolutely fabulous this morning?
Well, I get up every Sunday morning to do the show. I'm always excited about, you know, the guests that we're going to have in studio, the topics that we talk about, and really just enjoying life.
I love it.
You know, enjoying life, you know, there's a vibe in our city. I mean, there's the vibe is, you know, full of energy. So I just kind of, you know, gravitate to that.
I love it. It's been good energy. The Bills are doing great. The Sabres are doing great. I mean, we're in a good spot in Buffalo.
That's right.
And I'm always excited to be here. I mean, in the past few weeks, we've had a lot of opportunities to really talk about what we do at Western New York at Work and kind of build on it a lot and talk about a lot of our partners in the community. And we are very lucky to do what we do and very thankful for all of our partners at Western New York at Work, who are guests who come in and share their stories with us and who support us. It's an awesome thing we have going on.
It really is. And I think it's very indicative of the team spirit that we have here at Western New York. And I'd like to say to Luke, good morning and welcome back.
Hi, Luke.
Good morning to you guys as well. Thank you for having me once more.
Thanks for joining us.
Yes, it has been. It certainly has been a while. Good to be back, though. Okay. I'll be here next week as well.
Okay, great. Two weeks in a row.
Wonderful.
Okay. Well, we're going to get right into it. I'm going to do an audible this morning because we have some amazing guests.
I'm so excited for this week's show. And we talk a lot about our partners in the community and who support Western New York at Work. So we're really excited to have the Buffalo Niagara Human Resources Association represented in studio with us again this morning. The BNHRA is our HR partner to Western New York at Work. And this morning we have Pam Nicastro, president of Renaissance HR and the strategic partnerships director on the BNHRA board, in studio with us this morning. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Good. Thank you for joining us. And then we also have Jim Donathan, attorney at Phillips Lytle. And Jim has called in and is joining us this morning as well. Hi, Jim.
Hey, good morning. Glad to be part of the show.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us. And I think it's really important, the topic that we're discussing this morning is really marijuana in the workplace. It is a topic that the BNHRA is going to be hosting a dinner about on November 20th at Phillips Lytle, and Jim will be speaking to it. But in society right now, and in the workplace, you know, this is something that we're dealing with, marijuana in the workplace, because it is becoming legal around the country, being legalized in New York State. So I think it's great that we have Jim and Pam both with us this morning to talk about how it's affecting the workplace, employment, and how it's affecting, you know, it from a legal perspective as well. So Pam, I know if you don't mind starting, because I know you've had some situations you want to kind of kick it off with.
Well, I've had a couple of employers come up with some questions that are very interesting, in the fact that their medical review officers, who often review their pre-employment drug screens, are still following federal law, which has marijuana classified in a more severe category, and will come back and say the drug test is positive, mm-hmm. where we're moving in New York State more to a more lenient situation. So that's come up a couple of times. People who have medical marijuana cards when they do a pre-employment physical, producing those.
So the fake medical marijuana card, so they can kind of like think they can skate by that pre-employment screening and say, oh, but wait, I have a medical marijuana card.
And then you have employers who have a workforce who are under the Department of Transportation on the federal government side, who definitely cannot be utilizing marijuana. And then the rest of their workforce, who's not covered by that regulation, you know, is going to be following the state regulation. So it's very confusing for HR professionals right now as to where to fall.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely confusing, I think, for HR professionals, business owners. And Jim, from a legal perspective, obviously, as it's becoming, you know, legal within New York State, how do you see it affecting employment law?
Well, there's been a dramatic shift really over the last couple of years, just nationwide. If we just step back for a second, there are now 33 states, including New York, that have medical marijuana laws. 11 states have actually made marijuana legal, such as California, in Colorado. New York has taken thus far a compromise position where possession is still illegal, but it's mm-hmm. been, quote, decriminalized. Keep in mind that marijuana is a Schedule I drug under federal law.
Right.
But under New York law, at this point, if you're possessing less than 2 ounces, it's now no longer a crime, but more like a traffic ticket. If it's under 2 ounces, between 1 and 2 ounces, it's a $200 fine. If it's under 1 ounce, it's a $50 fine. But keep in mind, you know, there are no lawful, you know, sources for it. So as a result, employers are facing a couple of key questions. I think, one, do they continue to test unless they're subject to federal regulations? And how do they handle situations in the workplace? What's the impact? So it's a very interesting dynamic area.
Yeah, and I think it's something that we're all continuing to navigate as, you know, we move forward through this. And it's navigating the laws, it's navigating employment, it's navigating testing. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it's an employer-specific test. So an employer can decide if they want to test for marijuana or not, correct?
That is correct. Just keep in mind, there's some pretty good science out there. The Journal of the American Medical Association of year or two ago published an article finding that employees who test positive have 55% more industrial accidents, 85% more injuries, and 75% more absenteeism. So this is kind of a balancing thing. Mm-hmm. Some employers have stopped testing except for federally mandated purposes because of the tight job market, the inability to find applicants. On the other hand, when you allow individuals in who are using marijuana, you may have a significant risk factor. So, again, it's a balancing act, employer by employer.
Very interesting. A couple of questions that come to mind. I want to go for the employee first before we go back to the employer. So say, for example, there's an individual here, she is driving their vehicle. Has technology evolved to where they can test, the officer stops an individual thinking they're, you know, for whatever reason, and that individual appears to be under the influence, not of alcohol, but of marijuana. So has technology evolved to where they can test that individual? Pam or Jim?
That's a great question. As of the present time, the technology has not yet evolved to the point where there's a test to test for the degree of impairment. So if an officer pulls over an employee or you or me, they will be doing basically a field sobriety type test. There are tests that are being developed to test for the percent of THC in the system, but I understand in talking to law enforcement, the THC oxidizes much more quickly than alcohol, and so it will be very difficult, even with the new tests, to get tests done in such a timely fashion as to establish, based on a test rather than observation, that someone was impaired due to marijuana.
Okay, and my biggest takeaway from there is that law enforcement needs to catch up, or will eventually catch up to the changes in the laws as it affect medical marijuana. Wow, very, very incredible. Now, the other part of the question I wanted to ask, you know, as we pretty sure we all agree, West New York is filled with many healthcare companies. I think it's an economic engine right here in Buffalo. Without naming any one of those healthcare systems, is there any case studies or situations that you can describe that how they are changing their HR policy as it relates to this topic?
I can speak to a Rochester healthcare facility that I know is no longer testing for marijuana. Depending on the facility you're in and the company policy, some facilities may not test at all, may have you sign a statement. Some do. I think what's even more interesting is, I'm not sure, and maybe this is a question to throw out there, that like nursing homes and home care agencies often have to do criminal background checks. And what happens when it comes back that there has been a prior violation? Because it determines whether or not they may be able to hire someone based on the scope of the job that the person's applying for. So there's all kinds of things I think still need to be worked out.
Yeah, you bring up a great point, Pam, because I think, you know, it was illegal in previous years for a long time. And now, as you're seeing it become more illegal, like it's getting legalized and people have medical marijuana cards, like how do you, you know, kind of walk the line and make decisions based on what happened previously with someone versus what's, you know, it was legal then versus legal now, and making a decision around employment? And is it something that you think would affect the job they're doing? You know, if it's something that they can, you know, present and say, well, I was using it legally, I have a medical marijuana card, I can show you the card. And if they're in a position where they're not maybe operating heavy machinery or driving something.
Yeah, is there some kind of grandfather clause?
Yeah.
I think with the medical marijuana, it's a little bit easier, because if they've actually been approved, they have a card, then you're looking at the American with Disabilities Act. So you're looking at a different law maybe to apply to that situation.
Okay.
Versus the recreational user who, you know, is not utilizing it for a medical condition, has gone through those steps to get that card.
And I think that's an important distinguish that we need to make, that, you know, there's a difference between that recreational usage versus the individual that he or she that has been approved for medical purposes. So how are we going about educating the employers? Because this is such a it's the elephant in the room. It's a monster of a task to get our arms around. So what can employers do?
I think that there's some resources out there, the online they can look at. They obviously, you know, law firms like Phillips Lytle give good guidance. for that. They can attend the session that's coming up in November on the 20th, bring their questions with them to get some education as to how to proceed. And this thing, I kind of get the feeling that it's going to be an evolving situation. We're not going to have final answers for everything. I do believe right. that we can have some answers.
Yes.
To kind of just help navigate through the process. And Pam mentioned we're having a dinner meeting coming up on November 20th. The BNHRA is hosting it, and Jim Donathan from Phillips Lytle, who's on the line with us today, will be presenting at it about marijuana in the workplace. And that is a great opportunity to hear from Jim from his perspective, from a legal perspective, and from an HR perspective of how employers should be navigating marijuana in the workplace.
Fantastic. And Jim, can you share any bullet points or sound bites that you're going to be, specific topics that you may, you can share so that employers can really, get a sense that they need to be there in the room and involved at this event?
Yes, I can. First of all, I think it's very clear to distinguish identify what the current state of New York law is.
Mm-hmm.
As we now stand currently, the only truly legal marijuana is medical marijuana. And by the way, to my surprise, every formulation of medical marijuana has THC. Like apparently there's a 1-4 rating. Someone who has pain, maybe it's a 1, and the CBL is a 4. Someone who has anxiety or is using it as a tool to get off a harder drug, the THC formulation might be a 2, 3, or 4. And at some point, there is impairment even with medical marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Under New York state law, under the human rights law, if you have a medical marijuana card, you are a disabled individual. And you can't be discriminated against because you have the medical marijuana card in terms of obtaining an employment or a license in New York. And secondly, that means that the employer owes you a duty of reasonable accommodation because of your medical situation. And so they are effectively in a situation the same as anyone else with a medical issue, and they can be in the workplace so long as they're able to reasonably perform the essential functions of their job. Now, keep in mind, it doesn't mean that you can come in impaired or high, and it
right.
can be very important for employers to look at their policies and be very clear with employees that you are not allowed to be in the workplace in an impaired condition. And secondly, a trained supervision on what to look for, and actually have a protocol, basically a field sobriety test type thing observed by at least 2 people in management before a decision is made on, for example, suspending or sending someone home or sending them out for a test, at least to confirm that they are using THC. So a lot of dynamic items will be coming forward.
Oh, yeah.
So incredible.
Yeah, and before we go on, I think this is such a great conversation. We can not forget to go to Luke for our sports update. I mean, it's an exciting time in the world of sports right now. I know Luke has some great things to share with us, and then we'll go right to our commercial break. So, listeners, tune in to Luke right now for our sports update, and then don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after the break.
So, obviously, some local happenings in sports, at least. We have the game in Western New York today. Of course, the Bills host the Philadelphia Eagles at 1 o'clock. The game will be carried on our sister station, WGR 550. Meanwhile, you can catch the television broadcast on Fox. The Sabres are rolling at 9-2-1 to start the season and are currently leading the Atlantic Division by 3 points. It's still early on, of course, but that's no reason to not be excited. The Sabres are back home tomorrow night at 7 as they welcome the Arizona Coyotes to town for their only visit to Buffalo this season. And the UB Bulls football team has won 2 straight and have evened their record at 4-4 following a 43-20 victory over Central Michigan yesterday afternoon. It was a huge conference win for the Bulls, and they improved to 4-1. Michigan came into the game at 5-3. And for that is the sports update.
Hi, I'm Lauren Lewis with Staff Buffalo. Staff Buffalo is a certified woman-owned business enterprise. Staff Buff is a full-service professional staffing firm providing executive, direct hire, and contract solutions for employers in Buffalo, New York, and the surrounding areas. We specialize in providing our clients with the best candidates for each job, as well as personalized career management solutions to each candidate looking for new opportunities. We love to make people happy. Please check us out at staffbuffalo.com. Staff Buffalo, where Buffalo works.
Hi, this is Tiffany Dillon, president of the Buffalo Niagara Human Resource Association, also known as BNHRA, which is Western New York's local chapter of the Society for Human Resource Management, which represents over 300,000 plus HR professionals in 165 countries. The BNHRA has local networking, education, mentoring, professional development, job postings, and volunteer opportunities, just to name a few. SHRM also has national, global, and state opportunities to connect HR professionals via social media, education, conferences, resources, and tools and advocacy for the business and HR professionals, regardless of the size of your company. As a BNHRA member, you will be able to stay ahead of the rapidly changing HR field and attend monthly networking meetings, events, and post jobs for your organization. If you are interested in learning more about the Buffalo Niagara HR Association, please feel free to check out our website at bnhra.org or follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Twitter.
1946. The business. Ask anyone in Western New York the first thing they think of when you say the word pizza. Chances are you'll hear the name Bocce. Bocce's Pizza is the ultimate Western New York pizza and has been since 1946. The business world calls him Jim, but we call him Mr. Bocce. He'll tell you how it all started.
Bocce Club Pizza started in 1946 when my dad took over a small little restaurant, and it was the Bocce Club that actually had bocce ball courts. And the story goes that they were experimenting, looking in the basement one day, found an old Blodgett pizza oven, and my dad started experimenting with pizza, and next thing you know, here we are, 70 years later, serving takeout pizza at two locations on Bailey Avenue and Hopkins Road.
Bocce Pizza is a true culinary institution in Western New York. It's as much Western New York as the chicken wing. If you're one of the few who haven't tried it, get to one of their two locations today on Bailey Avenue and Hopkins Road and see why Bocce's Pizza is such a treasured delicacy to all Western New Yorkers.
Make me wanna shout, kick your heels up and shout, throw your hands up and shout, throw your head back and shout, come on now, the Bills are making it happen.
On ESPN 1520, I'm Lauren Lewis in studio this morning with my co-host Dale. We have our producer Luke in studio with us this morning, and we also have Pam Nicastro, president of Renaissance HR and strategic partnerships director on the BNHRA, and Jim Donathan, attorney at Phillips Lytle, chatting with us this morning about marijuana in the workplace, which is an evolving issue for a lot of employers as we're all trying to navigate, you know, what's happening with marijuana and the legalization of medical marijuana in the workplace. And Pam, right during the break, you and I were chatting a little bit about the levels of marijuana and how to assess for that and how it affects employment. Can you talk more for our listeners about what you were talking, referencing?
Right, and maybe Jim can also help on this. I went to a conference last November, a labor arbitration institution conference, and what was interesting is the panel of arbitrators said that they're looking for the employer to set some limit because it was across the country. It wasn't just like a New York State legal situation, and to set some limit in their policy as to what they would consider impaired once someone was tested. And I don't know if, Jim, if you want to comment on that or what your thoughts are.
Sure, Pam, that's a difficult issue. First of all, let's just step back for a second. The intensity of the THC today is 20 times higher than when Bill Clinton didn't inhale when he was in college. So we have to first start out with the standpoint as the THC especially goes into a professionally manufactured type situation, the oil is very potent. As I noted, as of yet, there is not yet a test on the market where you can test for the level of impairment. I think when that comes out, then we'll have another discussion on what level should be set. At the current time, we're really, I think, Pam, stuck with the idea of looking at someone in terms of their appearance, their eyes, their speech, their movement, to determine whether or not they're impaired. And especially where if someone is, let's say, operating a fork truck or a welder, a crane operator, those are very, very tough situations, because in most employment settings, none of those positions would be, you know, subject to DOT testing, Department of Transportation testing.
Okay. Jim, let me ask this question. Are there any circumstances that that you can say that there's going to be, what if, okay, what if this happened? And I really want to look at it as when this does happen. If you ever understand what I'm trying to say, there's going to be some common trends that are going to happen with employers across the board, whether you work in transportation or, you know, or clerical, you know, office space. And so, actually, I want to put it out to both of you. Are there some common things that the employers just need to know because it's going to happen as a result of legalization of medical marijuana?
Well, there is a trend. I always looked at the New York City to their ordinances. They seem to take a more progressive level than the rest of New York State. And Pam, I'm sure you would comment on this as well. And then it seems that New York State follows the lead of New York City. There's actually effective in 2020 an ordinance in New York City which will bar testing for marijuana in the workplace except for very limited circumstances such as police and peace officers, some construction workers, any position involving a commercial driver's license, any position involving supervision or care of children or medical patients. So, and there's another exception for persons who have the potential to significantly impact the health and safety of employees or members of the public. I think that shows you the direction we're going to be heading, where right now employers have the choice of do they test or not. I think within a very short period of time, probably a year or so, that all employers in New York will face a situation where unless they have these limited circumstances or federal law allowing testing, that they won't have that as one of the tools in their toolbox. What do you think, Pam?
Well, I think that having that clarification of this group, this is the group that you can test for medical marijuana or for marijuana in general for recreational use, is helpful to employers, because employers are now struggling with, do I test, do I not test? And if I am testing and I have employees coming back with positive tests, from a pre-hire standpoint, what do I do? So having kind of a list of categories of types of workers that would fall within the pre-employment testing, I think would be more than welcome for some employers to be helpful to as guidance. You're right, the employers right now have the right to say, I'm going to test or I'm not going to test, but that leaves a lot of them with an uncomfortableness of, you know, am I hiring somebody who potentially could be impaired and risk their safety as well as other workers, as well as clients, customers, and, you know, patients in the process if they're impaired at work.
And I think that does bring up a lot of great topics. Is it's an evolving process, I think, for a lot of employers and companies, the state and the country, because we're all navigating it together and trying to figure out, okay, what is the best sense to accommodate for those people who maybe have a medical marijuana card. Like you said earlier, they are then considered a disabled employee. You have to accommodate accordingly for them, but also making sure that your employees are getting their jobs done safely and in a way that continues to have your business be productive.
Yes. And Jim, I believe you were about to make a comment as well.
Well, I think, and Pam was pointing out, I think as employers and as lawyers, we like to have some bright line rules where if a client calls and says, should I test or not, I have something to rely on. Today, if a client calls, I ask two key questions. I say, first of all, how is your applicant pool market? Are you having any trouble recruiting individuals for a certain position? If they say no, then I advise to continue their current policies of pre-employment testing and testing in the workplace, for example, post-accident or reasonable suspicion because of the legal challenges. In other words, today, if I have the right to test and I don't do pre-employment testing and I hire a fork truck driver who uses marijuana, and that individual, he or she, then has an accident in the workplace and injures somebody else, is the employer now going to face, for example, a negligent hiring lawsuit by a coworker, or even worse, by a third party, a visitor
or elect another contractor who's in the workplace. So there's some very, very tough decisions mm-hmm. to be made now. Where in the future, if the law changes, let's say, to more like the New York City law, at least there'll be guidance. But I can tell is that one exception that they're putting in the New York City law about potentially to significantly impact health and safety of employees or members of the public. Again, that's going to be an area that Pam and I will say is not clear.
Right. Well, Jim, thank you so much for calling in and joining us this morning. We are, again, this is the fastest show in radio history.
Yes, it is.
We're already wrapping up at 10:30. Jim, thank you so much. If anyone's interested in learning more, please come to Phillips Lytle on November 20th to hear from Jim Donathan more about marijuana in the workplace, and go to bnhra.org to register. And Pam, if anyone has more questions, how can they contact you at Renaissance HR?
They can give me a call at 716-228-0396.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Well, as Lauren just indicated, we thank you both for being a part of West New York at Work. And to our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Go Bills!
Thank you for listening to Western New York at Work, sponsored in part by Lotempio PC Law Group, Complete Counsel, meeting your lifetime legal needs, Dale Martin, Liberty Cab, Accessium Group, your most trusted IT service provider, and other successful business partners.